Welcome to the Real Estate Success and Support Podcast, your resource for real estate strategies, tips, and best practices to take your business to the next level. There's no reason you can't double your sales. So let's get to it with your host, Kristen Brindley.
Hello, everyone. This is Kristen Brindley, publisher of DC Metro and Nova Real Producers. I am here with the wonderful Hans and Steve Weidler. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
This is Franklin.
That's Franklin?
Yeah.
Well, very nice to meet you, Franklin. And Franklin's like 10 weeks old, right?
He's actually 3 months now. So.
Oh, 3 months. Okay. This is very indicative of these two. They're very funny. And they're both on the covers of DC and Nova Real Producers, Hans and DC Metro and Steve and Nova Real Producers in December. And check out their stories if you haven't yet. And they have over $2 billion in career sales and $243 million this past year in sales. So definitely cover story worthy in any city in the United States. And mentions and, Steve, wasn't it Arlington, like 8 years running, Arlington Magazine?
We were voted best of Arlington real estate agent 8 years in a row.
Beautiful. And best in Bethesda too, right, Hans?
Yeah, we've been just a couple months ago, we were voted best agent and best team in Bethesda, which is the first time the same group has held both recognitions, which we feel so, just grateful for. Our clients and friends have been very supportive. So, we're excited about that.
Well, that's beautiful. And y'all have been, brothers since 1968 and in the industry together since 2003, right?
That's right.
Yeah. you guys are super smart gentlemen with great backgrounds. Why real estate? Tell us that story. Like, how did this happen?
Well, I actually got into real estate first in my mid-30s, and I tell everyone I had my first midlife crisis. But I was in media. I was at the group at a business school that launched WashingtonPost.com. It was the go-go 90s. It was early 93 and then 93. Was at the Post for 3 years, left and worked on three internet startups in the late 90s. And none of them worked. And I was in a world where, sort of trying to catch a wave, and I was sort of the surfer paddling and not catching the wave. And the last startup was in 1999 when the whole internet bubble crashed. And the jobs I was at that point prepared, qualified to do were going to take me outside of Washington. And I've always loved Washington. And so I really said, sort of that midlife, my son was just born. My last startup was in Atlanta. So I was traveling all the time. I was like, shoot, what do I want to do? I want to live in DC. I want to be with my family. I don't want to travel like that. What can I do and still be an entrepreneur, which was always sort of a guiding, thing for me. And I got into real estate originally as a developer. And I was looking for investment properties, and sort of that journey, when I talked to a lot of real estate agents, and some were lovely folks, but didn't really add a ton of value to what I was trying to do. And a couple of them were excellent, but it's sort of that experience. I said, I actually think I would enjoy being a broker more than a developer. And I was really, it sort of brought a bunch of things together. I love helping people, and I love sort of the consultative approach, and I'm a natural connector. So I really thought I could do it and really sort of add a sort of professional level of service and experience and thought to the process. And, it worked out great. I had a phenomenal first year. Steven, joined me a year later, and we started our team and been off to the races ever since.
Beautiful. And so you always, and Steve, do you want to add to that?
Did he use all my time?
No, feel free if you'd like to.
I at the time, I'll admit, when Hans told me he was getting a real estate license and was going to be a real estate agent, I thought he was crazy. People with his pedigree, at the time, we're not hanging, coming into this industry. And it took me a full year, but after a lot of thought and conversations with agents, brokers, and frankly, future potential clients of mine, I decided that Hans had some insights and there was a real business to be had in this industry. So for similar reasons, I was actually a practicing attorney at the time. I was at in-house counsel at AOL. I decided to have a career shift. And in 2003, I left the law and started selling houses in 2003. So it's been great. We really, like Hans said, felt that there was an opportunity as agents to really make it an impact in people's lives in a fundamental way and really bring value. And we really enjoy the consultative approach. And we really, we're always trying to raise the bar and how people perceive real estate agents, because I think Hans agrees, we passionately believe that the potential for an agent to help people is huge. Now, is that potential always realized? Probably not, but we really think that, an agent with the right tools and the right background and frankly, the right systems and that care can really move the needle for people.
Well, and I find it interesting, like both of you are super humble about this, and you never, I've been in person with you guys several times, and I mean, Hans, you never say Harvard and Yale, and you never say Vanderbilt Law, and but those pedigrees are what you were talking about, you were alluding to, and very smart people and raising the bar on professionalism. We appreciate that here in the DMV. And so what about like the journey itself? Because I feel like, you all have such a rich history journey, like owning a brokerage and everything that you've done. Tell us about the business. Like how did that evolve in that way? Like tell us, 2003 to now, like what happened to create all of this? You guys are very successful.
At a high level, I mean, Steve and I were sort of the first wave of, and sort of the professionalization of the industry. There were very, very talented and smart people before us, but we really were sort of the first wave of folks that were coming into this, looking at this more how to establish a business that generates, sustainable recurring revenue over a long period of time. And how do you build the infrastructure to support that lifestyle? So you're not working, the business is 24/7 and it's hard. People think this is easy and it's not. It's very competitive and it can be exhausting. So
just to add to that, I like to say that Hans and I were the first wave of people who got into the business because of the internet, not, everyone else in it, had to adapt. But we really saw with the internet a real shift in the value of agents from being the information providers to the information consultants. Like how do you process all this information? And that's what attracted Hans and me to the business.
I mean, we were the first ones. I mean, it sounds so ludicrous today, but no one was doing email newsletters, 20 years ago when we started this. Like that was one of the things that we sort of were doing that no one else was doing. I mean, it was crazy the level of, if you look back and what people were doing then to market a home it's laughable. We're always trying to, we try to lead with curiosity. Like we're always trying to be better. We always joke, like we go to the conferences, we go to the sort of compare notes with our, colleagues across the country and always looking for better solutions. But I see a lot of the people that have been doing this for 30, 40 years, and they don't go to the conferences. They're not trying to innovate because they do because it's always worked for them in the past. And we like change. We like the sort of intellectual challenge of it and how to make it better.
Well, and yours was called Cutting Edge for your title of your story. And I think that is a good descriptor of what you guys have done technology wise through your careers and your side hustles and things now that you guys do, it relates to tech and real estate, I believe, right? Like, can you tell us a little bit? I think that's great. You guys are still entrepreneurs on a high level, not just for your business, but on outside of and other things that you do. And I think people complicate entrepreneurism sometimes, and it's much more, you know, you have a solution and value that is greater than the revenue that you will ask for, and that is a business. And you guys, I feel like, truly get that. Let's what side hustles have you guys done and are currently doing?
So I think one of the things that Hans and I did probably more, strategically than most at the time, and I think we still try to be super competitive on that front, is we broke down what it means to be an agent. We really try to break down the business of being an agent. And, like an entrepreneur, what you do in a business is you sort of deconstruct the entire process, and then you build an organization to supply that service. So, and that's a common, we always say it's not people, it's not technology, and it's not systems. It's all three of those things. So Hans and I are always trying to build out the structure of being a real estate agent, and what is a business of being a real estate agent look like. And I really strongly believe, and I was actually just talking about this on a listing appointment this morning, that most agents, said differently, to be an agent, you have to have this incredible array of skill sets. You have to be a negotiator. You have to have creative abilities to stage and do the marketing. And you have to be good with organization and contract processing. And what most agents do is they pretend that they're awesome at all of those things. And the truth of the matter is, that's a very wide array of things you have to do. And Hans and I with Weidler Brothers, we've really built out that organization of people, technology, and systems to do that. And that, for Hans and me, has always been sort of the intellectual challenge of this business, is how do you do that in a way that can support, 50 million in volume, 100 million in volume, 250 million in volume, without degradation in service and results, but actually using your scale to improve service and results. And along that journey, and this is a very long walk to answer your question, we're always seeing opportunities in this space to other sort of tangential solutions that we have an itch and we want to scratch it. So Hans and I love the entrepreneurship of this business. So we, as both founding members, as investors, and have found these sort of side hustles of ways to build solutions for in the real estate industry.
I think probably 6-7 years ago now, but we were generating leads from lots of different sources for our team, and we with a couple of really smart, amazing partners that have remained friends to this day, trying to figure out, where could we apply some additional technology to the real estate in the agent experience. And we identified lead management as one of those opportunities. And so it was like 7 years ago, we started a company, co-founded a company called Five Street. And ultimately the company was able to aggregate or process all the leads that were coming in from all these different sources, whether it was Zillow or Boomtown or these different places, into a distribution system, kind of like Uber, really. It was just sort of before Uber was Uber. And say, okay, we've got a team of agents, we've got all these different leads coming in, and we set up a system where the agent on our team that was in a position to take the call could respond to that lead right away. And so it worked beautifully, because there's thousands and then tens of thousands and millions of leads coming in, literally millions of leads. Like Five Street ultimately processed 3-4 million leads a year. It's just an unbelievable amount of lead processing. And that worked out great.
One thing we discovered, leads are perishable. So they're much more valuable in the first minute, less
internet,
valuable.
Internet leads are very perishable.
Internet leads, yeah.
Yeah. And so we ended up selling the company, maybe 5 years ago. And it was a really fun project to be involved with. And it's the kind of thing we like to do. And we always are, looking for other opportunities. And we're partners or advisors to a bunch of other sort of side hustles, and it's been fun for us.
another big side hustle for Hans and me, which I think brings a lot of benefit and value to our clients, is we're also real estate investors. And, you know, owning real estate, Hans and I both own residential properties as landlords. It's just a really, it keeps our skills sharp, and it keeps us in sort of in tune with what's going on that front. And a lot of our clients to this day are investors looking to diversify their holdings. And, you know, it's one thing to advise people, but when you're actually one yourself, it really, you know, it gives us a much better ability to advise our clients on that front.
For you all, what has been, define success for us. What do you feel success is to both of you all?
I mean, success for me is sort of a balanced life. And so it's where, we bringing value to clients without sacrificing, family and health and other parts of your life. And, I think we went to a seminar once where they said, well, it's not, it's never really balanced. It's always balancing. And the example is of the amateur tightrope walker is wildly waving their arms, trying to not fall off, where a professional tight walker looks very stable on the wire, and they're still balancing, but they're making micro movements. And so, that's, to me, the success is getting to a point where you look like you're walking calmly, but you're just making these micro adjustments to keep everything, in check.
I think it was Brian Buffini, at one of his conferences, but he talked about the four levels of success, and it's survival, stability, success, and significance was the last one. And significance is basically giving back. And, for me, what I get a lot of tremendous enjoyment out of it is helping sort of the next generation of folks like succeed. And I'm blessed. I have an amazing team, Steve and I, amazing team of folks that are generally, younger than we are. And this business, one of this business's gifts is you have this little moment of perspective into all these different people's lives, and you really are in a position to help them. But, at a very young age, the folks that are working with me are, 20 plus years my junior, and they're being exposed to, how people's how they approach life and decision-making and each other. And you learn. And so it's really rewarding for me to help people think about how to succeed in this business, how to help them make, it's like being like, I have my two kids, they're both in college, and how to help them make, not just make good choices, but like think about how to make a good choice, right? What are the right questions to ask, and what over time leads to what Stephen just described as, a well-balanced or balancing life and how to get there. So, I'm still struggling with it, and it's not, there's not like a destination, it's a journey. So what are those touch points? And I ask people that are 10, 20 years my senior who I admire what their pearls of wisdom is. And it's a great experience. So.
So you brought up family, and I want to ask you all about your families. I feel like this is a really good spot to ask you about those pearls of wisdom, though. Like, what success tips, like what has made you different and successful, do you think? Like, how are you all different, and what has catapulted you?
Well, first of all, we really try to be like we always say, we don't take ourselves seriously, but we take our business very seriously. And we get, when we're helping our clients, this is the most important, one of, if not the most important asset in their lives. And people are going through transitions. And when you're young, they're generally happy. I'm buying my first home, I'm getting married, I got promoted. And as you get older, people are starting to be, sometimes marriages don't work out, or, the downsizing move is a really hard emotional move for people, and try to help people think through those things. But we feel like we come at the world from like just a sense of reality. Like, our clients generally are very blessed. But they work hard. They're often dual income, very driven people. And we compete at very high levels with other brands and other agents. And if you look at their marketing, it's so aspirational. You see people dressed to the nines, touching like a beautiful vista over a thing with not a thing out of a place, or they're getting off a private plane or jumping off a yacht and just create this stuff, which like, that's not real life. Like our real life is like last night I had a client that's looking at a very valuable home. And she's like, I'm sorry, I didn't call you. My daughter had a severe allergic reaction. And I was up all night in the emergency room. Like, that's real life. Like, we get it. Steve and I have been there. We're like, the gray hair is earned. And, you know, how do you connect with that person to help them say, you know, we've been there, like, don't worry, we've got this, versus, oh, the yacht is waiting for you. And your captain is calling. I mean, it's just, that's not really what we're trying to be, if that makes sense. It's like real people trying to help, like real people with real, you know, the real, you know, not trying to hide life's challenges, if that makes sense.
Steve, do you, sets you apart, makes you different? Do you feel?
So I would say, you know, one of the things that really been key to my success was, you know, let me start off. One of my hesitations about becoming a real estate agent was, the word sales. Like the word sales was not attractive to me. In fact, it was, I didn't want to be a salesperson. I had a law degree. I was a practicing attorney. I viewed sales as sort of a bad thing. And the way I sort of convinced myself to get into the business was, well, I'll let the other agents be salespeople. I'll be a consultant. And it was, you know, 2 or 3 years into the business, I finally accepted the fact that I had been kidding myself. Of course I was a salesperson. It was just how I carried myself. And it was from that moment, we were actually at a conference in San Francisco where I had that epiphany with other real estate agents there. And it was from that moment that I decided to become a student of the sales process. And I voraciously read, I attended seminars, I went to sales management training, and I really love it. It's really, you know, sales is the foundation of almost every business. And even, you know, everyone is selling something, and most people don't even realize it. And, you know, you have to find a way of doing sales that is authentic. And I think Hans and I are really successful at this business because we are authentically who we are. You know, we do, like Hans said, we do recognize that we deal with very serious subject matter, but we have fun with it. And we have enough confidence in ourselves to sort of show the human side of the business. And we don't always, you know, we don't have to wear the Rolex watch and be driving the Bentley and, you know, be wearing the tuxedo in our marketing. We really try to be who we are as people. And, you know, my biggest observation about sales is, you know, if you can tell your authentic story in a way that shows the client that you really care and that you're going to take care of them, that's the magic, right? And Hans and I really like our stories from our, you know, educational background to our professional careers to real estate is all about like, how did we get here? We got here because we want to make a difference in your life. And we have the chops to do it. We have the marketing engine to do it. We have the networking power to do it. We have the systems to do it. We have the technology to do it. We have the brokerage to do it. And we believe it because, you know, we think it's true. And that's, you know, when we go on a listing appointment and we're up against some of the top, you know, other agents in our communities, we often win because, you know, of that. And we're just really good at sales.
I was going to say, one thing, Steve, is, you know, it's really interesting is coming out of the legal background, Stephen recognized that lawyers don't know how to promote their businesses. Like, you know, they're like, oh, we're a practice. So Stephen's actually given several seminars to professional firms over the years, helping them think differently about how they build their businesses. You know, and it's really interesting coming full circle.
It is really interesting coming full circle. And what conference was that that you were at in San Francisco?
It was I don't think they do them anymore. It was called Star Power.
Yeah.
Howard Brenton's, yeah.
Yeah, it was fascinating. It was just sort of like, it was really great. Agents, you know, from different markets sharing best practices and a whole host of different subject matters, from technology to marketing to, you know, systems, you know, you name
it. Yeah, I mean, just a quick shout out to Patrick Lilly in New York, but he's one of Howard Brenton's disciples and has sort of revived the idea of that in his own conference called Rev. And it's been great. So we've gone to those for many years and great group of people.
So if we were to ask you, like, you know, what should other reel producers absolutely do that you have done? I have a feeling maybe Rev would be part of that too, but what else, from what you have actually, from what you've done, what should other reel producers absolutely do?
So I think get out of your zone a little bit and talk to and meet with folks in other markets. You know, it's a much more candid exchange sometimes because you're not direct competitors, and it's always been great. You know, it's been a wonderful resource for us.
Beautiful. Tell us about your family. Like, I loved your articles. I'd love to hear a little bit more about your families and hobbies and things you all do as a family, things like that.
So I'm a divorced dad, two awesome teenage girls. They're both in high school. They are super precocious and keep me on my toes. As you've seen, I am also a proud owner of a Bernedoodle puppy. I'm very blessed. I have great family, and everyone's got their health, and you know, we survived a crazy year like everyone else, and we're just ready for things to return to whatever the new normal is going to be.
Yeah, on my side, Jen and I have been married coming, I think it's her 25th year this year. Two children, both in college, one's graduating in May. It's been quite a year, but we feel very blessed. But you know, to take it up a generation, Steve and I are both of our parents were self-employed. And so, real estate in some ways is a very, natural for us in that both of our parents work from home and our mom was in sales. Our mom built a very, very successful business that she's still at 80 years old, still works at every day, selling flower pots of all things like factory reps. And, her heyday, she was probably selling, $9, $10 million worth of flower pots a year to major garden centers and big box stores and all that. So
flower pots. Yeah.
But it's a lot of flower pots. And so a lot of what we've learned, frankly, is from just watching our parents growing up. So we always, our mom was always like, so she loves the shop talk, like, how'd it go today? So it's always fun to, have that conversation. But
that's really great. I mean, attitude, work ethic, you guys got to see mindset of someone, from an early age. I think that's,
yeah. Our mom was, her factories at one point were mostly in Italy. So she learned Italian. She had a tutor come to the house and just figured it out. And, Hans grew and I grew up with our mom screaming into a telephone, Italian into a telephone for, doing business over the years. So it was great.
Even more like the business, the manufacturing has shifted away from Europe, like it has here, into, mostly Asia, for example. And my mom, our mom in her 70s, just rolled with it. And so our mom, like age 60, 75, 76 years old, was jumping on airplanes, going to trade shows in Vietnam. Like, that's pretty cool. Like most of the moms in our mom's generation weren't doing, never did that, if they worked. And our mom is still out there knocking heads. So it's kind of fun.
She sounds amazing.
She's a little Coco Loco too, but we love my mom.
What hobbies and interests do you guys have? I know we had pictures of you riding a bike, Hans. Like, what do you guys like to do?
So Steve and I both love sports. So and I play a lot of racket sports, as does Steve. Steve also plugs in golf, which is more of a, it's not my first passion. I think Steven probably golf is his first gig. And then, you know, we're outdoors. Like, we love to, you know, run and bike and, you know, hike. My wife loves to hike. In fact, my wife is petite, but she's such a fast walker. It's crazy. Like, she's just, I don't know how her little legs move as fast as she does, but it's very impressive. So I'm always like, slow down, but I'm keeping up, trying to keep up.
Is golf your favorite there, Steve?
Oh, yeah, I like to compete. So, you know, I before COVID, I was, my major passion was playing squash. Since COVID, I've picked up tennis and play a little bit of pickleball. But as long as I can play someone, and I like to win, but I don't have to win. I just love that. And then golf I view as a game, but, you know, golf to me is sort of my therapy, because for 4 hours I get to focus on a little white ball and not think about work and not think about anything else. And then I come back and, it's my little gift to myself, I guess, to keep my mental sanity.
We need to do that, right? You got to have mental breaks and you got to have things for you, right? It can't just be the business. That's
right.
So this is one of my favorites, because I love to see like what people are reading and quotes. Or do you have any favorite quotes, books, things like that, that you've read that you would highly recommend to people?
The book that sort of helped me think about our business differently early on was The E-Myth Revisited. And that was the entrepreneur, you know, how to organize a business for growth and success. So that I alluded to it earlier. And now I'm actually, I just finished Open by Andre Agassi. I read Winning Ugly by Brad Gilbert, which is a tennis strategy book, which is, you know, about, you know, really thinking about competition strategically, but I think it, you know, you can expand it beyond tennis. And my next book on my shelf is called The Inner Game of Tennis. And I was listening to a podcast about it. I'm really excited about that, but it's a book about coaching and about how to be a coach. And, you know, again, I just read the bio, the intro prologue, but it's all about sort of, you know, for coaching, the best coaches listen more than they talk, and they let their pupil find their way instead of telling them how to do it. So, you know, I'm really excited to read that, because I think that has a lot of translation into business as well. That and as Hans said, one of the things that we love to do is we're often mentoring, coaching, giving seminars, speaking on panels about sharing what we know. And, you know, if there's a more effective way to do that, I want to learn that.
So, you know, on my end, from a business perspective, I think the Carol Dweck's book, Mindset, is just really, really fascinating sort of lens of how she organizes the world, fixed mindset versus growth mindset. And maybe it could have been an article rather than a book, but once you
it's a great book.
Yeah, great book, right? But once you read it, I see that distinction everywhere. You see it in athletes, like, one of my favorite things during COVID was the Michael Jordan documentary. But you see it, like, you know, Michael Jordan had a growth mindset, and she talks about it in the book. But then you see, like, you read a book like, you know, which is a fun little business book, but Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and he talks about his biological father who had a fixed mindset and his best friend's father who had a growth mindset. But he doesn't use those words, but you read it and you see that lens, like, oh, total makes total sense. And you read about Amazon today announced they're going into the healthcare business, right? But growth mindset, like, how do we learn from our mistakes and move forward? I think that's a great, I talk about that mindset shift with my kids all the time.
Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. You heard it here at Real Producers. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Real Estate Success and Support Podcast. To get even more information to take your real estate business to the next level, visit KristenBrindley.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe and tune in next week. And until then, please leave us a review on iTunes.